world this week? Politics.
Barack Obama made his first speech to Congress as America's president, possibly taking note of criticisms that he has tended to sound apocalyptic about the economy. Mr. Obama used the occasion to set out his administration's recovery plan and stressed that he believed America would be stronger than before, to huge applause. His speech included an unwavering commitment to begin the process of reforming America's healthcare system this year.
Mr. Obama also prepared to send an outline of his budget to Congress, which proposed tax increases on the wealthy to pay for healthcare. The Democrats unveiled a $410 billion additional spending plan that they said was necessary to keep the government ticking over until the end of the fiscal year in September.
Mr. Obama nominated Gary Locke as Commerce Secretary. Mr. Locke, a Democratic former governor of Washington State and America's first Chinese-American governor, is the third candidate that the president has put forward for the job.
Despite the formation of a power-sharing government in Zimbabwe, in which the Prime Minister, Morgan Tsvangirai, has promised to reimpose the rule of law, President Robert Mugabe's party accelerated the wave of confiscations of the few hundred remaining white-owned farms.
A new South African party, the Congress of the People, picked a Methodist bishop, Mvume Dandala, as its presidential candidate. Parliament chooses the head of state after a general election in April.
A special UN-backed court in Sierra Leone convicted the three most senior surviving commanders of the Rebel Revolutionary United Front of crimes against humanity during the country's decade-long civil war.
The leader of Israel's right-wing Likud party, Benjamin Netanyahu, who was given first chance to form a coalition government, said he still hoped to bring Zippy Livni and her centrist Kadima party into his governing fold. So far, she has rebuffed him because of his refusal to countenance the idea of a two-state solution for Israelis and Palestinians.
Iraq's parliament lifted the immunity of a Sunni member, Mohammed al-Daini, in order to facilitate his arrest on charges of orchestrating a string of sectarian murders, including a suicide bombing in parliament, car bombings and mortar attacks.
The police chief in Ciudad Juarez, on Mexico's border with America, resigned after drugs gangs, who had murdered his deputy, threatened to kill one of his officers every 48 hours until he quit.
President Álvaro Uribe of Colombia insisted he was a victim, not the orchestrator of alleged snooping on politicians, judges and journalists by agents of the Domestic Intelligence Service.
Argentina expelled a Catholic bishop, Richard Williamson, who caused outrage worldwide by denying the extent of the Holocaust.
As Raúl Castro marked his first anniversary as Cuba's leader, America's House of Representatives passed a measure easing sanctions. It now goes to the Senate. Richard Lugar, a senior Republican senator, also urged a rethink of policy.
America's Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, visited China, where she stressed the importance of cooperation on combating climate change and the economic crisis. She refrained from public condemnation of China's record on human rights or Tibet. But the State Department's human rights report subsequently accused China of a worsening human rights record in some areas, despite last year's Olympics.
Exiled Tibetans called for a boycott of celebrations of the Tibetan New Year in memory of those who died in unrest a year ago. Foreign tourists planning to visit Tibet were told that the region would be closed to foreigners until the end of March.
Dozens died after a gun battle in Dhaka, Bangladesh's capital, between the army and mutineers from the Bangladesh Rifles. The mutineers were incensed at alleged discrimination against the Rifles' soldiers. Despite an amnesty offer, the mutiny spread to other towns and tanks were mobilized in Dhaka.
A Taliban leader in Bajar, a tribal area of Pakistan, announced a unilateral ceasefire in fighting with the Pakistani army. This followed an agreed truce in the district of Swat in the northwest frontier province.
Defying predictions of their imminent military defeat, Tamil Tiger rebels in Sri Lanka launched an attack on Colombo using two light aircraft, both of which were shot down. The army claimed to be advancing on the last Tiger-held town in the north.
Uzbekistan's President Islam Karimov confirmed that he has agreed to allow America to transport supplies through the country for its troops in Afghanistan. But he said only non-military goods would be allowed through.
Harry Nicolaides, an Australian jailed in Thailand for writing a novel that broke local lèse-majesté laws, was granted a royal pardon.
As worries grew about Eastern Europe's economies and currencies, the Polish Prime Minister called a meeting of his fellow heads of government ahead of a scheduled European Union summit. Four East European central banks issued a coordinated statement suggesting that they may intervene to support their currencies.
Latvia's president began consultations to form a new government after the Prime Minister quit. Standard & Poor's, a rating agency, downgraded Latvian government bonds to junk status. Ukraine's debt was also downgraded again.
A member of Turkey's parliament from a Kurdish party, Ahmet Turk, caused uproar by addressing the chamber in his native Kurdish. Turkish television immediately cut the live transmission of the debate, as the Kurdish language is still banned in all state institutions.
Italy and France signed a deal that is meant to pave the way for a revival of nuclear power in Italy. Silvio Berlusconi, the Italian Prime Minister, said he wanted to begin the construction of Italian nuclear power plants.